Good afternoon, directors. May I take roll call before we start with today's board meeting? President Wilburn?
Here.
Vice President Hickman?
Present.
Director Starr?
Here.
Director Moreland?
Here.
Director Edwards?
Here.
Council Cooper?
Here.
Information Systems Manager Martinez?
Here.
Environmental Health and Safety Manager Perrin?
Here.
Finance Manager Wong?
Here.
Power Division Manager Leon?
Here.
Regulatory and Compliance Manager McKillop?
Here.
General Manager Mosley? Here. Before we start the Pledge of Allegiance, you'll also notice today that we have two board agendas, so we will start, as I communicate here, our regular board meeting, and then at the close of today's board meeting, we will open up a closed session item, which is the agenda that was posted yesterday morning, for the time frames and also allowed, so you'll see that referenced as well, as you know, so then we'll go into that closed session item.
I like your optimism. 4 o'clock.
Very nice. It's good. Okay, stand and pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to interrupt you guys for a minute. I'd like to have a moment of silence.
My apologies. Can I hold that real quick?
Yeah.
I did not take public attendance. Sorry, Director.
That's okay.
Well, we have John Shipman.
Thank you.
We have one anonymous phone call. And Ms. Fernand.
Ms. Fernay. Thank you. Please continue, Director.
Okay, I'd like to call for a moment of silence. Jude the second, my poor neighbor we take care of, he passed away and just fell over in his backyard dead. Poor guy was a retired operating engineer, worked for Robinson Construction, run the service truck, then he went to Granite for many years in Nevada. He was a top-rate taxidermist. He taught taxidermy at Yuba College. And he, older he got, he lost his hands, he couldn't do it. But now he's in a better place. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
All right, let's go into approval of minutes. Questions or concerns about the minutes from last meeting?
The minutes look really good. I'd like to approve the minutes as printed.
All right, we've got a first.
A second.
A second, thank you. Any participation online or on the phone?
Nothing in the inbox as of 2:05.
Nothing online. I do want to state that since we do have one caller, if they need to raise their hand, press *9.
Thank you, Eric. All right, so we have first and second. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Five ayes. Okay. Move into checks and warrants. How are you doing today, Steve?
Good afternoon to you, Director.
We still have some money left?
Going fast. Thank you for noticing. This month, we have your May listing of checks before you. They were fairly straightforward. I'm not going to highlight too many specifically, but there are a number with projects identified. And the projects are those where you look in the account code column that's right in the middle of our list of checks, and those are the when there are two sets of numbers listed separated by the diagonal line. So let me just highlight some of those for you, what those project numbers are and what they're titles are, so you know where those funds are being expended on. And then For instance, the third check down, check number 60073 to All Meadows Pipe, most of those expenses were charged to 2020-0200. That's the irrigation water, the raw water project that we have going on in the Oro Banger avocado area. Not big dollars, but we're accounting for them within that project. A couple checks below that is a payment to Cresco Equipment Rentals to project 2020-0198. That's our community line project with providing some potable water. That was actually a pretty good amount, $6,900 for rental for a backhoe loader and then a hydraulic breaker. And Wraith, do you need to comment on that a little bit?
If you recall from a number of ordinances back where we were having trouble with rock as we were digging, within that process we needed to rent with a hydraulic hammer, which by the way we broke in the process as well, trying to, no additional cost to the district under the rental agreement, but it was some tough hiring and having on a community line. That's what that was for.
Great, thank you. And then, so we've got five pages of checks here. Then let me go ahead and list some of those other projects are as they got charged. The 2021-0971, that project is for the SCADA upgrade replacement project we have going on. That's a big project. It's $150,000 in our budget. 2021-0975 is for the relocation of our SCADA operations up to the Sunset site. 2021-0977 has one check listed. That was for a truck, replacement truck. Truck itself, but that's a camper shell. That is on page 3. Right near the middle, check number 60157 is a camper shell truck that we're adding on to that project. Project 2021-0979 it was for the backup generator, which is funded, is grant funded, and we have not expended that yet, but you'll see that in future months. 2021-0981, though you will see a number of charges there, that is for our work on building the pad in the building for that generator up at Sunset. So you'll see that project code show up in a number of places. And then another power division project, 2021-0980, is some work going on at SF-17. So all of those in the power division, Dan has actually commented on in his regular monthly report, so he'll bring you up to date on those, and that's where those expenditures, and you can see where some of the expenditures that are hitting those projects on this month's list of checks. Outside of that, there was a big payment on page 3 again, May 21st, check number 60167 was to Chin Chin Electric for the raw water pump number 2 out of the minor drainage treatment plant. You've heard about that in earlier board meetings, and that pump is now up and running, but that was a big payment that we made last month. Any of the other managers or Wraith like to comment on or questions?
I have no additional comments.
Any questions about any of the checks?
So Steve, page 406. Tell me again about the consumer confidence report. So it'd be 60220 that we're paying the $2,700 for.
Art maybe will want to address that, but that's a report that we prepare annually and is available, and I think included with our mailings, our billings.
What that is we are required to send out or make available our annual water report, how we are tested, if there is any issues with that testing. And I think John Shipman would like to talk some more about that.
John is on the line.
John, you're on mute.
Once he unmutes that. So we are required by law to make that available. We do use a service that goes through and verifies, make sure that we are complying with the laws. They will print a number of them, and we also place a notice within the statements saying where that, you know, that is available on the website, or they can request a copy.
Okay, so they're basically just doing a mini audit. They're not doing...
Correct.
They're just reviewing data that we provide.
Correct.
And reporting it.
Preparing the
publication. Just John on? Or
that's good for me as far as the context of my question.
One more, Steve. On page 4, 60194, Landon Construction refund. Is that the deposit for the water meters?
Correct.
Yeah. So you've got some of them, you bring them back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So page 1, Steve, it is legal counsel 6082. That should say May 2021, correct? Hopefully we're not that far behind.
Well, so it was for services in March. We received the bill in April and paid it the first week in May.
Okay.
So we
are.
So it is a March service, but again, it takes them a little time to get the bill to us. So it takes us a little time to analyze it. There is a second payment to Manassian later on. So we did get caught up.
Because we missed, did we not have a payment on last month's report?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So that's what's going on. I got it.
All right, any other questions? Expenditures for the month of May 2021, the amount of $1,270,615.12, and authorize the transfer of $1,150,000 from the TCB general fund to the TCB accounts payable and payroll fund for the payment of regular operating expenses.
I'll second.
There we go. 3 seconds.
Yeah, you did it
up. Any public comments?
No comments here.
Nothing received in the inbox as of 2:15.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Five ayes. Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Mr. Well, President, if I may real quick,
sure.
Director Starr, do you have a time constraint today?
Yeah, I can leave at 2:45.
At 2:45. So would you prefer to be present for staff reports or move directly to business items and then we come back to staff reports?
Let's just go as we normally do.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. President.
Thank you. All right, so moving into staff reports.
If I can just continue on, we're now under tab 3. Notice to you regarding our water service shutoffs, as you're probably aware, that our ability to shut off for non-payment was suspended back in March of last year, and we've received, or we're researching the notice that the moratorium on those, our ability to reconnect or disconnect will end on September 30th. Just communicating that to you internally, we're reviewing our processes and then bringing that up to speed. Of course, if you recall, we were just starting to implement the SB 998, is the language in our world, which changed the provisions for water shutoffs. So we'll keep you posted as we proceed with those activities. Comment on our health insurance rates. Just because of the way our MOU reads, it's and the We don't have as many options up here in this area as many other places. So we will be down to the next year, we'll have a total of four options available to employees. And the MOU sets forth how those, what our maximum rate will, or our maximum contribution can be on the agency side. And it'll go up, but it'll be a reasonable amount is the projection. I'll again report on that when we get some final rate numbers that come through. Looking at our retirement contributions effective next month, they actually will decrease a little bit, but not significant in terms of dollars, but at least it's not a significant increase for which we're grateful. And we, as I know here, we're through some thinking on making a one-time prepayment of our unfunded accrued liability. It's a big dollar amount of almost, you know, $456,000, but we're gonna pay that either in a one-time lump sum basis in July and realize some savings, or we'll let CalPERS essentially finance for us and pay it on a monthly basis. I'll be doing that analysis and working with Ray on how we'll proceed with that payment. And then just a final comment that we're continuing to work on the audit, and we'll have that to you as soon as we can. I omitted some pages in my normal board report. I caught that and mentioned it to Art just this morning, and he might be able to pull it up for us. The graphs that we normally include, we're going to be able to do it.
Yes.
Yes. These are our hydropower generation graphs. Thank you, Art. Very good. And we have May numbers. You can see, well, it's hard to see, understand. Very good. For May, April, you can see 2021, there is red, is our 2021. And March, April, May have all been less than average and less than in prior years. Dan is preparing some estimates for us mid-month, and so June will also be down as well, significantly less than average. Again, maybe even historically lower for us. So that's where we stand then. And then the next slide is just our cumulative report on, again, money revenue coming in from our hydropower generation. 2021, it's a little bit hard to see, and again, I apologize for that, is actually the bottom line all the way going through. And so as of June, it's matching right up with our lowest year, which is 2018 at that point. So that's looking not so good on that. I do have the regular numbers available to us, and it's the standard set of reports you'll see. Let me just highlight one on page 5 for you, and this is under our general fund, so it's the water division activities. On the revenue side, right in the middle of the page, my account number is 42301. It's what we call sundry billing, or just our job orders. This is the account line that I, where we recognize work done by our water division for projects requested and that are paid for by our customers, or to be our new customers requesting different services or requesting our water services, and we recognize the expenses on the in our expenditure side against the budget. But we also recognize the income on the income side to match up against those expenses. And this is easy to track. You can see how we're coming in this year on the far right-hand column on that line 42301 already received through May 31st. We're at $65,000 coming in. for services which people, where they're paying for us to make installations for them. We're over our budget estimate already, and then we're already exceeded what we brought in last year in 2020. If we can come in at 2019 numbers, that would make everybody happy. And with that, I'm going to conclude my comments.
Thank you, Steve. Dan, you're up.
Good afternoon, directors.
How you
doing? I'm glad to be here. Thanks for your time. So for the next few minutes here, I'll be reviewing our Power Division report for May, the monthly report here with you. And to start with, under operations, you know, the ongoing theme here is our hydrological conditions is dry here, and it continues, of course. As we look at that first paragraph on the first page, first section under operations, we see that for the Northern California region, that water storage is about 46% of average, and snowpack is basically gone. Within our project, we do move a minimal flow, as required by FERC, South Fork tunnels. So we're moving about 11 to 14 CFS. Our two main reservoirs stand at about a little over 102,000 acre feet. With regard to the asset performance, the powerhouses, they were run and made about 2% of their total capacity, and that's as PG&E dispatches our four units, and also based on the fact that our current water storage is less than a minimum as established by the contract, and that's just that condition persists. On to our second page, top table, again, I'd like to call out the third column there, available for generation hours. Our crew does an excellent job of maintaining and operating the units with a high degree of attention to safety and, of course, great skill. And we can see that for last month, the number of hours in a month was 744 hours, and units, all three of them, all four were available at almost all hours, just a few hours offline for some unforecasted outages. The second to the right column, additional gen not dispatched at full output. You can see the units basically are not running hardly at all, and definitely not at the full output. And again, this is driven by the hydrological condition. ISO pricing, it was around mid-$30, $36, $35, which is good. It's good pricing, although our volume was low as far as production on the units. The four powerhouses remain fully operational. Forbes Sound, we had completed some electrical testing at the on the stator winding. And then at Kelly Powerhouse, we installed a new, what's called a station service circuit breaker. I think that was in last month's checks. As far as other project assets, just want to mention briefly, our maintenance crew continue to manage vegetation, inspect assets such as canals and trash racks, or testing spillway gates, which are required by various compliance entities. We assist with removal of hazard trees, installing safety buoys and log booms. We've installed boat ramps at Lilybrass Valley Reservoir. So it's a whole multitude of other things that are taking place at the various outstations now that we're not doing the outages at the powerhouses. So again, just several things going on there. As Steve mentioned, some of the projects, and I'll talk about those here in a minute. I'd like to call your attention to the rate compliance section here, and if I could ask Kristen Hillup to give an update on the statewide drought update.
I think Rafe has a more comprehensive update included in his staff report. The conditions are obviously changing for the worse on a just about daily basis with regard to regulation on the state and federal side of water movement throughout our state. So. We continue to be, setting records for dryness in our community. We're included in all of those emergency declarations at this point. And the drought task force meeting was indicated that it would be held in this month, but it will not be held until next month. So it will be a more comprehensive update on county lead efforts at your next board meeting.
Right. Yeah, I was just looking for my more comprehensive report.
Sorry, you're in the governor's declaration and those kinds of things.
Thank you.
Ms. Vernon has a question.
Okay.
I'm listening with Fred, and I couldn't quite understand all the words from the power report. And what I understand is that due to hydrological conditions, the power plants are not operating, and there's minimal reservoir storage. Are you willing to say that again in a little bit of layman's words, so I understand?
Not enough water.
Yeah. So thanks for your question, Maurice. So the Lillagrass Valley Reservoir and Slide Creek Reservoirs are the two main storage reservoirs for the South Feather Power Project. And the water levels are currently at, the combined water levels are at about 102,000 acre feet. We are under contract with PG&E, who operates the four generators. And currently that storage is less than the minimum value in the contract for this month to run the unit. So the minimum is 135,000 acre feet. So what I'm basically saying is that if storage is less than 135,000 acre feet, which it currently is, then the units don't basically run very little, if at all.
For this month, had a PG&E contractual obligation, so re-emphasize.
Oh yes, and again, this is a PG&E contractual obligation that the units, you know, do not run.
And the storage level changes by fiscal month.
Yeah, and as Ray pointed out, the storage does change month to month, and so we compare the storage for the current month, actual storage, to the contract to see if we are or are not below the minimum value. If our current storage is above the minimum value of the contract, the units run a lot more. If the current storage is less than the minimum stated in the contract, which it currently is the case, the units essentially do not run or run very little.
Thank you very much.
I hope that helps. Thanks, Ray.
It does.
Okay. Along the same lines, what is July's number?
So, yes, the minimum storage for July is 110,000 acre feet. So, going into the, covering some projects that we are working on the third page, we continue to work on what we're calling the energy delivery transition projects. So, we have, as Steve mentioned, we have a SCADA control system replacement project. We have a vendor working on this. And the vendor is working at their factory, and so we are anticipating field installation of the upgrade in quarter three of this year. So it's pretty close, getting closer. We also have a Cal ISO revenue meters and what's called remote intelligent gateway installation, and this is also a contractor is working on these activities. And then we'll be doing installation in quarter three and four of this year at our generator sites. We also have a standby generator that we are installing. We're replacing and installing a new generator at the Sunset Comm site up at Sunset Hill. And our crew have done just a terrific job of a new concrete pad and roof structure and so forth. And as stated, this new generator will greatly improve the reliability and availability of this of the power system up there. SS-17 is one of our downstream measuring stations, downstream of the Forbestown Diversion Dam. And so the crew have completed this fabrication and installing of metal safety platforms and ladders and stairs. And so this was all an area that was damaged by the fires. And there's a couple of pictures there just to give you a very small idea of kind of what this metal structure looks like. We have some very capable crew on our team who can fabricate these structures and bring them out to the field and install them, and just really a top notch. We have more repairs that were done at our Station 8 replacement bridge deck. This is on the fourth page. And so this is at the Ponderosa Dam. So facing downstream to your left, there is what is called Station 8. Station 8 is the inlet to the Miners Ranch Canal. And so this wood decking, which was all rotted, our crew replaced. And lastly, we have another project that we're working on to install safety platforms and ladders and so forth at the Lost Creek Dam mid-level valves. On the fifth page here, we just once again have our ongoing rain gauge capture for a precip here. And we can see the rightmost little peak right there is the rain accumulated at the Starbury gauge, C-deck gauge, DWR C-deck. And then the next page here, we have the sixth page. We again show storage for both reservoirs. The red trace is the actual for the 21 water year. And so we can see how low these traces are, these plots are in comparison to past years. Then the final page is a review of the energy revenue and the powerhouse outputs for the four powerhouses. And that is the conclusion of my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Dana? Very good, Dana.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank them guys for all their hard work.
I'll pass the word along. Yeah, well, thank you.
Great. Thank you. So moving on to Water Division, the domestic water treatment operations. So you'll see that there has been a slight uptick as the weather has gotten warmer and actual demand and production out of both Miners Ranch Treatment Plant and Bangor Treatment Plant units. So we produced 232 million gallons. We did have a high of 9.44 million gallons per day, a low of 6.3. So a little bit of an uptick. I would expect that to continue as the warm weather continues as well. I did put a note in there. Steve already referenced it during checks and warrants that raw water pump 2 has been reinstalled and back online with the treatment facility. John Shipman and his team worked on that. You saw those associated expenses during checks and warrants. So we're back online there for redundancy. Another note that I think is pretty important is that right below the graph, where you see our trended line, the treatment plan did receive their updated accreditation as an internal environmental testing laboratory. So we're pretty proud of that. I know John and his team are. So again, for another year, we've received all of our accreditations to perform internal microbiology work in various forms of testing within our facility. That's pretty unique and rare within the state. So pretty proud to once again be accredited for the next year. In terms of the irrigation season, all canals and ditches are in operation. You can see by the bar charts for June, the flows, how they look compared to previous months. Everything's running well at that point, no issues. We turn the page to page 2, just to give you a quick eye strain and glance of overall activities operation at a high level. You will see that we did install 5 new domestic services during the month. That's important to continue to add connections, get people domestic water, collect system capacity fees, etc. So you know all about that. Now on the concerning side, if you look over to the far right under leak repair, we did have 6 leaks at the time of this writing that we had to go out and respond to and repair. And the question continues to be, as we profile those, if these leaks are increasing and surfacing as a result of what we call hammering of the domestic system due to the illegal use of fire hydrants, right? So literally throughout the district, day and night, it's literally a whack-a-mole effect. There is a penal code against that, but we do have people that are fundamentally stealing water from hydrants, and without proper training, proper tooling, not only do you wear out the hydrant, you can actually potentially hammer the system, which could create leaks in infrastructure and straps, etc. So continue to work on that on both fronts, right? So predictability curves in terms of water management and leaks, and then also addressing our water theft situation, particularly at the hydrants.
Yeah, you have another problem with extremely dry conditions. This ground is really dry, and it'll put more pressure on the pipes.
Exactly right, Director Moron. Yeah. So
We're hoping to try to get ahead of that a little bit, but those unforecasted leak repairs truly impact the other good work and projects we're doing. Also, just real quick on Red Hawk Ranch Community District, we did install 13 raw water meters with Hertz, so all of that infrastructure is in place. The design of the pump station, variable frequency drives, everything initially worked well. We had some problems over this last weekend where we had a couple component failures needed replaced. One was a rogue component from a VFD standpoint. So that was replaced this afternoon. I believe the system's pressurized and back online at this point. So we're working through a few little bugs operationally there, trying to flush the system. We have had some debris that was in the lines that we're still working through. Change a particular valve to a ball valve to make it more robust. So a couple little tweaks there. And then really the next step is to get as many as the 13 raw water meters actually drawing off the system so we can then program through the PLCs and actually control the system as draw. So we need draws throughout the entire system to really have this thing dialed in. So we'll continue to work with those folks to get that dialed in. But good news is there is water all the way to the end of the system. So working well. Moving on, the Highway 162 Arbol Avenue Road Widening Project. So we will start that project on August 2nd. Again, we'll perform that work at night. Today, the crew met with Caltrans and PG&E at the project location to confirm locations for gas lines and potentially make a couple modifications to the, or red lines, if you will, to our proposed plans on water replacement, which would actually, in theory, assist us with the project scope, both in cost and time. So we're hoping to get that through and approved by Caltrans Engineering. And again, like I spoke last month, we're expecting 13 days on that project. If these plans are approved, we may be able to shrink that to 8 days and get this completed. Questions or comments on that? Power purchase agreement. So as you know, we've been speaking about this over the past couple few years. A couple little highlights and reminders for you. You know, what do we know? We know that the energy market in California certainly changed from the beginning and the implementation of the original power purchase agreement. So in 2010, when the agreement was inked with PG&E, there was a forecast and a legit and true expectation that hydro energy production and revenue could be in the $30 million a year range annually, year over year. Well, looking back 11 years later, we all know that that average has been less than $17 million per year. We've had a couple high years and a lot of low years. Averages out around a little less than $17 million, or really 57% of forecast. So what has that meant? It's meant over the last 11 years, in many years, we've had to really modify, go to flex budgets, manage what we do and do not perform within the district. So, you know, one of the goals as we started working towards a new agreement is how to gain predictability and then, you know, budgetarily manage according to that predictability of revenue. And so I'll let you read some of the other content in here around green energy, et cetera. I think probably the most important thing for me to highlight today and give you an opportunity to ask questions about is what is new to you, and that is PG&E's shift away from traditional power purchase agreements. So as we've been working with them over the last period of time, particularly as they came out of bankruptcy, the idea of a traditional power purchase agreement long-term, that type of content is non-existent within PG&E. They've now moved to what they call CPE, or Central Procurement Entity. I briefly mentioned this last month. But what that means is they're basically interested in the green energy credits, those types of things, not the dispatch hours or production. So while Dan sits here and talks about a drought year and low production, even on a wet year, they still wouldn't be interested in really running the units as much as getting credit for the green energy. So, you know, as we've identified what potential buyers look like moving forward, you know, we've looked at the independent operating units, such as PG&E, like I've mentioned. We've looked at municipal utilities, like Northern California Power Agency. We looked at Community Choice Ags. Some of those folks were Silicon Valley Clean Energy, Marine Clean Energy. We also looked at direct access service providers like Three-Phase, Shell. And our total list was about 13 to 15 in total. I highlighted those that we kind of made it a little bit deeper in the process with. And really, what did we learn? As I just communicated, the PG&E Central Procurement Entity strategy does not meet South Feather's needs moving forward. We've already communicated that with PG&E, at least verbally. They've agreed, they understand that. So we're, you know, mutually talking through what does a future transition look like for South Feather. We would likely not be with PG&E unless we dramatically changed how we maintain and operate the South Fork Power Project, because there just simply would not be enough revenue to operate the project as we know it today. NCPA, so that's Northern California Power Agency, they're really a pretty interesting and good solution as a municipal utility. They're able to offer long-term forecasting. They do have internal operating center and schedule coordination. That's something we don't have. We rely on PG&E currently for that, the Fresno Operating Center. They do have close proximity to our operations. They're based in Roseville. And they're a membership group, so they're an at-cost, not-for-profit membership group. So they have multiple entities within their umbrella that buy this energy. So you have the ability to flex and sell energy and kind of chase demand within all of their members throughout California where that energy needs to go. And so the other thing that they're also willing to provide, and we'll put more of this in front of you here shortly, is defined monthly revenue commitments and abilities to maximize production based on water storage. So we will have kind of baseline predictability if we were to move towards an NCPA, where we'd know kind of what our minimum annual revenue would be and then what the upside is based on water storage as we move along. So it's a pretty attractive option. The CCAs, they're primarily focused on green energy credits as well. And as you well know, only two of our four hydro powerhouses currently qualify. That's that 30 megawatt number below. So that option probably isn't real sound for us. And then the direct access folks, they certainly will require an operating center and schedule coordination. There's few options out there to be able to purchase that type of feature from. And when you do, it is expensive. It ranges between $500,000 minimum up to $1 million a year to have someone perform that function for you. If you were to bring it in internally, and Dan, I forgot my number, but when we reviewed, others have done it, it was greater than $2 million to,
right.
Yeah, I put you on the spot there, but I think
build the infrastructure and bring in the staff and amortize it out, say over 20 or so years, is about $1.5, $2 million a year to internalize those services.
So, and pretty time consuming to get that implemented. So there are some challenges from that standpoint. So what I would tell you today at this meeting is that, CCA and direct access is not what we'll be proposing to you as board directors in the upcoming month or two. It'll be a conversation around independent operating unit like PG&E on some of those details that I communicated earlier, or a municipal utility, preferably like an NCPA. That's what we'll be presenting to you. So to kind of just walk you through again, status of the milestones, what have we been doing? You've seen some of this already, but we've already developed an overall strategy for solicitation. That's what I just spoke to. We've identified off-takers, again, what I've spoke to. We've looked at the operating options. We've responded to solicitations. We've met directly with off-takers. We've developed some post-2020 PPA seller agreements to see what those will look like in draft form. We have entered PPA negotiations to see how deep we can get with those and just kind of walk through the strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat process of PPAs. And really the next step is to transition into a new PPA with a new buyer. So next steps. So the next steps for South Feather is staff, primarily Dan and I, to meet with the Policy and Contracts Committee and review the recommended options. So we will be coordinating to meet with Policy and Contracts to do that very thing. We've asked GRIDS-ME, that's been our energy consultant for quite some time, in the energy market to participate in July's board meeting and answer any questions about staff's recommendation and any public input. So thought it would be appropriate to not just hear from internal resources like myself and Dan, but hear from an objective third party on options, give you an opportunity to try to poke holes in the work we've done to this point, make sure you feel good about our recommendation. Also, I, as general manager, will extend a good faith meeting invite to North Eagle Water District to allow them an opportunity for Q&A specific to the sale of energy produced by the South Fork Power Project. That ties to the 2005 agreement, so net revenue distribution is important to North Yuba. It's important to us as well. And so I will extend an invite out and bring them up to date too on the work performed at this point and what our recommendations will be. I will receive comments on the proposed contract from agency counsel, so that work is still underway at Manassian. And then the next step would be formal adoption of a new purchase agreement by the board to extend, to go into, and really our timeline is at this point, somewhere around mid-December of this year, we would need to be defined and ready to transition to a new buyer of hydro energy. I know I said a lot, put a lot of words in there for you to review. Does that make sense? Is it semi-clear?
Here's any guess.
Okay. Next topic is the Palermo Clean Water Project. And so, you know, maybe, Kristen, I was going to start off where I put you on the spot and you can read it right out of staff report. Since you and Director Wolverine were present, how would you like to do that? Would you like to step up and speak to it?
Sure.
Thank you. I'm sorry, we have a question first. Yes.
Yes, hi. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for letting me speak. I am wondering if you could let me know for the record exactly how many times South Feather has invited North Yuba to the table to discuss all aspects of the power purchase agreement and its expiration. And looking at new options, how many times have they been invited to the table and either ignored or refused those invitations? And do you have any idea when the invitation will be issued to the new Q&A? Thank you.
Thank you. For clarity, was that Dr. Floor?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. So in terms of how many invitations, I do not have the number off the top of my head specific to the power purchase agreement. There's numerous invitations in whole for multiple topics, including the South Fork Power Project. I'm sorry, though, I did not come prepared to give you is that 1, 2, 3, 10. But I can tell you that we're in double digits in overall invitations. And essentially, all those invitations arguably tie to the Joint Facilities Operating Fund and the power purchase project. And your second question was, the second question was what? Again, what was that final question?
I was wondering when you expect to issue the invitation.
Thank you. I would expect to extend that invitation within the next 10 days.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And if you could be sure to CC all the directors as well, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
I noted that. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Palermo Clean Water Project.
Director Wolverine, feel free to jump in and
sure.
Help with anything I might leave out. Last Tuesday evening, the team of Butte County Water and Resource Conservation, the consulting team of Ludor Scalmanini, and this agency met with about 40 community members from the Palermo area, primarily to give an overview of this potential grant opportunity to bring infrastructure and connection for treated water to customers currently being served by on-site wells. The interest was very high. There was great question and answer about a multitude of different things, ranging from, you know, questions about a sampling event to what does annexation into the district look like and what does that mean. And I think that the interest garnered by the folks that signed up, they provided their contact information and are interested in participating in a sampling event that would give us current relevant data to compare to a 2007 sampling event was very high. And we've continued, the county and this agency both have continued to receive inquiries from the public with folks that are interested in being included in that sampling event. So staff continue to work with the county on obtaining lab services.
Yeah, really
weird
quality.
Yeah.
Agency staff will be conducting the sampling event. We have qualified personnel from the treatment plant that will go out and conduct the sampling. And then we are currently working to, the county will contract directly with one of our local labs to have those results processed, and then we can begin kind of finalizing what the scope of the project will be based on what those sample results look like. And I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add, but.
I think you did a good job. I think that I was impressed with the number of people that showed up. I expected to see two or three people there. So, you know, having, you know, roughly 40 people, that was nice. Do you know how many people have signed up to do that?
We have roughly 23 people that are interested in having sampling done. Of those folks, there's only about 8 of those that are currently within the project boundary. So at this point in time, folks that are outside of that predetermined area that was defined in the 2007 sampling event, this agency as well as the county are providing all of those folks with the information about how to work with environmental health to do their own sampling or work with an inspector from environmental health or contact one of the local labs so that they may also get their wells tested.
I think there's a variety of questions, just some additional information for everybody. I think there were some people that were skeptical, some people that were kind of nervous that we were trying to take something away from them. And so I think it took a little bit of time to kind of sink in, and you know, hopefully we'll continue to provide additional information. But overall I thought it was positive. And so
I did as well.
I think we're going in the right direction. I'm kind of excited.
And just again to state for the record, I think one of the levels of skepticism is that the cost, the magnitude and cost of a project like this seems like it's just too good to be true, and that somehow the residents are going to be on the hook for something that they cannot afford to pay for. And this approach in this effort is looking to fully fund the project infrastructure, connection, everything to the customer at no cost, so that those funds coming from the Clean Water State Revolving Fund would cover the entirety of the project. And customers would begin paying for the bill, and that would be their first point of expending funds on the effort. So,
great.
How many potential parcels?
There are 490 parcels within that defined project boundary. Of those, 17 are currently served and connected and being served by treated water through the agency.
Okay, and what's the interaction going to be? Based on the result of sampling, is there going to be a difference? You sample and your well's clean, you sample and your well's dirty, what happens?
Well, I think that we have the defined project area. I don't think that there's any possibility cost-wise that we could expand what that project area looks like, but based on some of the additional interest, there might be a concentration or phasing in how we install infrastructure and connect folks, but primarily it's to demonstrate that there still exists a very significant need in this community for clean water. It's highly unlikely that any of those samples that were previously taken are going to now be clean, or that we would have, you know, and there is already a greater interest in participation at this point in time than there was in 2007. So we should be able to very clearly document a greater need by producing more sample data.
Okay, so say roughly 450 of these projects come back with a negative test, negative water test, and 50 or 41 are positive, or in a positive light, mm-hmm. no negative issues with the water. Does everybody get the same benefit? Everybody get the same hookup potential and the same cost offsetting?
I think that at this point in time, we're looking to do this sampling event, at this point in time, I don't know that we'll get more than 50 people in this original sampling event, but I think that the project parameters will be further defined once we start getting sample data, sampling results.
I think too, what we're looking for is just to show that there's an issue. So I think if people come back and their wells are clean, that doesn't necessarily exclude them, because we'll still be laying pipe, hopefully running by their house. It's just more of a project in general, not necessarily, hey, if your water's bad, you get water. If your water's good today, you don't necessarily get water.
So the same benefit, same hookup cost.
The same benefit will apply to each of those parcels currently defined in that project area.
And once you get started, we'll probably get more people interested once you see it happening.
Yes.
And that was definitely the case at this public meeting. We had a number of questions from folks that were there at the meeting that said, I'm just across the street outside of this line. Is there a possibility? And that is definitely, you know, something that but we're documenting as a team to take back and keep in consideration, because once the infrastructure is there, there's nothing prohibiting those folks from connecting, except that they are outside of what the annexation process and all of the connection fee coverage is. So we are still collecting all of that data just for consideration on how we continue with this application process.
It'd be interesting to see how many come back positive. That may, if it comes back, you know, a lot of those parcels are positive, that may allow us to even increase the scope and you know, slide the boundary some. Just saying, hey, if it's this bad here, why not come out a little bit further? You know, at least, I mean, in my mind, it makes sense to do that. So, I don't know if you maybe know. So.
I'd like to comment on that. I've had a few people call me with questions, and they want to know, if they hook up to South Feather, can they keep their well? I don't see any problem with that.
Well,
if they would use it for ag, but not drinking, and what you're going to see this year, lower water tables and during this bad drought.
That is definitely a valid point, that most of the wells in that area are close to what the existing ground table is. That ground table is likely going to drop below what existing depths are for most of the domestic wells. We had a handful of folks make comment about the last drought period that they had to lower bowls, that they had to try and deepen wells, or that they had no access to reliable water because of the dropping table.
I've been encouraging all of them, while this is happening, definitely hook up to the best water you can get.
Yes.
Because this could get worse. And these wells in that area, a lot of them are really polluted. And there's a lot of areas the county hasn't studied. And then what I learned over the years is you could do a bacteria test for like $36 per well. Well, the real toxic one's like $2,800. And who's going to pay for that to know if there's cancer in that water? But this leftover stuff from coppers, you can't see it. It's in the ground. It's never going away. And a lot of people I know in some of them areas, they've actually died of cancer. Their horses have died of cancer. Their dogs have got it. So, man, public, please hook up to it. Don't be scared. If you want to keep your well for ag water, do that.
Well, there will be some considerations for the level of opportunity to obtain clean water funds from the state and eliminate contamination of the aquifer, and what role existing wells may play in that process. So that will be a consideration in the final project scope. And just to state for the record that this sampling event is only to test for total coliform and nitrates. This agency and the county are looking at those constituents only, because that's what the original baseline sample was. So this is not a full suite of constituents that we're going to be sampling for. So, you know, folks that are looking for an expanded constituent list certainly will have to look at doing that on their own.
But I just hope the public is aware and keep continually to stretch out them lines and get them off them wells. Because what goes on is somebody with a lot of money is going to drill a well and steal the neighbor's water. And South Feather has the best water they can get for a real low cost, and it will raise the values of their properties in the future and help everybody. But I want to thank you guys for all the hard work you've been doing on this. This is really, really needed, and this will really help people in the long run. That's about all I got.
Thank you.
You raise a real good point too. You know, part of this project is to perform a bulk annexation.
Sure.
But within the project boundary lines, however they're defined, but maybe it would make sense at the same time to look at just expanding even beyond the project lines and get everything out there annexed.
Yes.
Through this process, since we're going to be going through that heavy lift and that effort. That I may note for the record, Director Starr has exited the board meeting at 3:01. I think along those same lines, I mean, I think worst case scenario for someone that's outside the boundaries is pipes are getting closer to your property, whether or not you do a bulk annexation or, you know, I mean, it's going to decrease future costs whether it's a phase two or whether it falls on the landowner to do it themselves, it should be less cost on it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So I just thought about that as you guys were conversing. So thank you.
This is a good positive step.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Chris.
So that's done with staff reports. Public comments. Are we looking?
I have nothing in the inbox as of 3:01.
Okay. And I have no request online.
Art, would you mind saying again your phone number, how to raise your hand?
If you're on your phone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand if you'd like to participate.
Okay.
No response.
No response. Okay. So let's move into business items.
I believe that's
the URD.
So these are, again, updates to the rules and regulations. This one has to do on the use and resale of water. As you can see, we were just cleaning up languages. In the original, you go through the red line under the domestic service. It goes back and forth talking about both parcels and then multiple parcels. The intent was for one parcel to be able to serve one additional parcel. So we've made the changes to this language so it's consistent throughout the paragraphs. For irrigation service, we've always allowed one parcel to service another. It didn't specifically state it the way we needed it to in the rules and regulations. So we have added that to that paragraph. You'll see on page 2, part B, similar qualifications that were for the domestic side. So this is just to clear up the communications and the rules and regulations to reflect how we are currently doing business.
Okay. Any questions or concerns about that?
Nothing received as of 3:03 in the inbox?
And no questions online.
I move adoption of the proposed changes to the rules and regulations regarding the use and resale of water. First, do you want to second that?
I'll second that motion.
First and second. Had no public comments?
No comments.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
4 ayes, 1 absent. Thank you, Art. All right, Steve. Come up here again. It's a lucky day, huh?
This matter is with regards to the appropriations limit for the agency 2021. It's an action we take every year. This is an appropriations limit really specifically with regards to property tax revenues that we can receive and then and include in our annual budget. We are well below the what that limit has been established at. So this resolution allows you to, allows us to recognize that and stay within the expectations of our legal responsibilities with regards to the property tax revenues. It's a factor of cost of living increases, which is reported to us by the State Department of Finance. And then also that same department is responsible for providing us with population estimates. And interesting enough, our unincorporated area of Butte County population has decreased now for the second year in a row. So our factor and our limit has actually decreased. Still not an issue for us, not a problem, could present problems. Obviously down the road, but at this point we're still fine.
And was this done last year also, or was it a couple years
ago? No, it's done regularly every year, right about this time. The Department of Finance is required actually to issue a report first part of May.
Okay. Just going to throw a motion out there.
You need a motion?
Need a motion.
Yeah.
I move adoption, or I'll make a motion. I move adoption of resolution 210601 establishing the appropriations limit at $903,114 for fiscal year 2021 pursuant to Article 13B of the California Constitution.
First.
Second.
Second. Any comments out there? Any comments online?
Nothing received in the inbox as of 3:06 p.m.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Four ayes, one absent.
Thank you.
All right, Jamie, looks like you've got the next one.
All right. So this particular business item is coming at you via a staff recommendation. You do have the controlled copies, Mr. President, in front of you for both the emergency response plan and the risk and resiliency assessment. We ask that obviously those stay within the building. If we jump right to it, the reason that you don't have the full printout of both documents, quite a bit of critical infrastructure is discussed, as you can imagine, particularly as it pertains to the risk and resiliency assessment, which obviously doesn't make it readily available or really needs to be considered an internal use only for public viewing. So that's what you have in front of you. This plan had previously been discussed and is referenced throughout the Urban Water Management Plan, which I believe is your next item of discussion. These are new, and through the federal EPA, both of these documents are needed for all community water systems serving more than 3,300 people. This is our first go at this, as I stated, it was new as of 2018. The current submittal dates based on our population tier, first set is due June 30th of 2021. That is the risk and resiliency assessment. And then you have, we have until 6 months of that or December 31st for the emergency response plan to get that self-certified. Both documents are self-certified. This was a collaborative approach that really allowed staff to get together, including Scott Dehoff as our maintenance foreman, Zenaido Martinez as our irrigation foreman, John Shipman, and Rob Wilcox representing the treatment plant, Kristen from the regulatory compliance standpoint. And in addition to this was another new document that allowed us to get back together and discuss the most recent responses and just kind of relive in so many ways the agency's response and exposure during the North Complex fire and any lessons learned that we might have been able to take from that. So again, we are just asking you guys to take staff recommendation. We have attached the table of contents as it pertains to the emergency response plan, and then did our best to find a document that clearly defines the spirit of what the risk and resiliency assessment was.
Did I hear you say this is like your first draft of doing this?
This is the first go for the agency, that's correct. What I will tell you, Mr. President, is both documents were fairly efficient in terms of processing and sitting down and being able to work through as a result of the five-year reprint from the Emergency Action Plan required by FERC and other emergency response updates, the treatment plant due to the expansion project that was completed in 2018. So really just a nice roll-up to really roll those documents all back into one.
Any questions?
Any motion, Rick?
Yeah.
I move approval to adopt the 2021 AWIA Risk and Resilience Assessment and Emergency Response Plan update completed by staff. And what I'd like to say is, this water district is one of the best And this year, with this drought going on, all these other water districts are really in trouble. And these visions that these old guys had to build this, it's just unbelievable how lucky we are to have this type of water. It's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Man.
Is it all part of that motion, though?
No, that's the motion.
All right, so we have a motion. We got a first, we got a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions online?
No comments. And one second. No email comments as of 3:11.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Four ayes, one absent. Thank you for all the hard work on the journey.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right. So, Kristen, you're up next, looks like.
You guys should be well-versed in urban water management plans by now. This is the third time we've had the opportunity to discuss the plan. What we are looking for today, I will provide you with updates on the outreach to the community. All of our partners at the county and city were notified of the posting of the draft urban water management plan and the drought shortage contingency plan. Each of our local school districts that are served by our agency were notified of the and presented with a link to the plan. The plan was posted in hard copy at the Butte County Library at Orville office. We had the plan, both plans posted on our website. There were, as required by water code, publications in the Chico ER and Orville Mercury Register two different times in two consecutive weeks. And our local agency partners with regard to wastewater processing at LOPUD and SCORE were also presented with the plan for review. At this point in time, we've received no comment from or even inquiries from the public with regard to the plans as presented in draft format. So we would like to suggest that you open for public hearing to receive comment from the public, and if we are able to address any of those concerns within the room at this point in time, we would ask that you'd entertain the motion to approve the resolution as presented in your work packet.
Sounds like a reasonable idea. Let's open it up to public comment. Any public comment?
It's a public hearing, Mr. President, so if you wouldn't mind, use those words, and then we'll give a minute or two just to make sure folks have time to comment if they like.
Okay, so let's go ahead and open it up for a public hearing in regards to the information Kristen just presented.
Again, star 9 if you're calling in on your phone to raise your hand. No comments here.
Art, one more time. Number of public participants online.
We have one outside participant.
And no email comments?
Nothing as I continue to refresh the inbox. Nothing as of 3:15.
Okay.
So we can go ahead and close the public hearing if the board's ready.
Can you do a vote with your people?
I'm sorry.
Can we vote with three people?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and close the public hearing we just had. And do we want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I move adoption of Resolution 2106-02 adopting the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and 2020 Water Shortage Contingency Plan and authorize and direct the General Manager to file both plans with the California Department of Water Resources within 30 days, but no later than July 1st, 2021.
Got a first, I'll second it. We have no public comments. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All ayes, one absent.
Thank you all.
And then President Wilburn, if I may, will you read the resolution of the Board of Directors, please? Because you and I will both be signing on that. Do we need to read that, Council Cooper?
We can. You don't have to read it if you don't want it, but we can read it into the record if you like.
I prefer it to be read into the record.
Okay. Okay, resolution of the Board of Directors, resolution 21-06-02, adoption of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the 2020 Water Shortage Contingency Plan. Whereas the California Legislature enacted Assembly Bill 797 of the Water Code Section 10610, as sequence known as the Urban Water Management Planning Act, during the 1983-1984 regular session and is amended subsequently, which mandates that every supplier providing water for municipal purpose to more than 3,000 customers or supplying more than 3,000 acre feet of water annually prepare an urban water management plan, the primary objective of which is to plan the conservation and efficient use of water, and whereas the California Code Section 10632 requires that every urban water supplier shall prepare and adopt a water shortage contingency plan as part of its UWMP, and whereas South Feather Water and Power Agency is an urban supplier of water providing water to more than 6,500 customers, and whereas the UWMP must be periodically reviewed and updated at least once every 5 years, and the agency shall make any amendments or changes to its UWMP which are indicated in the review, and whereas the WSCP is a standalone document and is included in the WSCP and shall be utilized as the guidance for conducting annual water supply and demand assessment, and whereas the UWMP and the WSCP must be adopted after public review and hearing and within 30 days submitted to the California Department of Water Resources for July 1st, 2021, and whereas the agency has therefore prepared and circulated for public review the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and 2020 Water Shortage Contingency Plan and properly noticed the public hearing regarding the UWMP that was conducted by the Board of Directors on June 22nd, 2021. Now, therefore, the Board of Directors of South Feather Water and Power Agency do hereby resolve as follows. Section 1, the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and the 2020 Water Shortage Contingency Plan are hereby adopted and ordered filed with Agency Secretary. Section 2, the General Manager is hereby authorized and directed to file the UWMP update and the WSCP with the California Department of Water Resources by July 1st, 2021. Section 3, the General Manager is hereby authorized to promote the implementation of the Water Conservation Program as detailed in the adopted 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and 2020 Water Shortage Contingency Plan, including recommendations to the agency's Board of Directors regarding necessary procedures, rules, and regulations to carry out effective and equitable water conservation programs, passed and adopted by the Board of Directors of the South Feather Water and Power Agency at the regular monthly meeting of said board on this 22nd day of June 2021 by the following votes.
Do you want me to
tell who voted yay and nay?
I'll do that. Ayes. Director Wilburn. Ayes. Director Hickman. Ayes. Director Moreland. Ayes. Director Edwards. Absent. Director Stone.
Thank you. Okay, should we move on to information item?
Okay, thank you. The tab 8 information item is to communicate and offer, again, in this setting for public comment, the South Feather Water and Power Agency proposed 2021 water transfer. So again, included in this information item is the State Water Resource and Control Board's notice of petition for temporary change involving the transfer of up to 8,000 acre feet of water from South Feather Water and Power Agency to Santa Clara Valley Water District. That's under permits 1267 and 2492, which are applications 1651 and 2778. Also included in this information item is a press release that was issued by the agency, South Feather Water and Power Agency, on June 4th, 2021, which you'll be able to read. Item three included is proclamation of a state of emergency, Executive Department, State of California. That is what Kristen referred to earlier. You'll have the actual declaration of the state of emergency from the governor's office listed, included in this packet. You will also see item four, South Feather Water and Power Agency notification to North Yuba Water District on the proposed 2021 water transfer. And then as of this writing and publication, you will see North Yuba Water District Council responses to proposed water transfer and South Feather Water and Power Agency subsequent communication. Since the time of printing, there have been, I think, two other communications back and forth, which we will also make readily available for public comment as well on our website. Do we need a view of directors? Since we've been talking through the proposed water transfer, have any additional questions or content questions in regards to the press release produced by the district? And again, the purpose of this is information item, so there's no action required at today's board meeting.
If I may, Ray, this is Dustin. The public comment period ended yesterday, and we received three comments. The State Water Board has asked us to prepare responses as they typically do. The three commenting parties are the Bureau of Reclamation. Their comment concerns whether we'll have a refill criteria or not, which we will. The second comment was from the Department of Fish and Wildlife, State Fish and Wildlife. And they, our petition did include what's called ramping rates, which is how you schedule the changes in your delivery of the transfer water to the system. And we had proposed in our petition that we utilize our FERC 4E ramping rates. And State Fish and Wildlife would like to utilize the 401 certification ramping range, which, as this board knows, FERC has determined that that 401 certification issued by the State Water Board was waived. So we've got to work through with the State Water Board why we believe the 4E ramping rates are protective of the it's yellow-legged frog, I think, is the species of concern. The last comment letter is essentially identical to a comment letter we received last year for the petition. Of course, the transfer ultimately last year did not move forward, but this comment letter is from Central Delta and South Delta Water Agencies. And I got to tell you, I really don't understand their concern. They, if anything, this transfer would benefit those agencies. They're located in the Delta, and there's a carriage loss assessed on the transfer water as it moves to the Delta. So there's actually more water in the system than there otherwise would be in the absence of the transfer, which would seem to address their concerns. But in any event, as I said, we'll prepare responses and work with the State Water Board. We expect the State Water Board to issue an order likely sometime in the next few weeks or so.
Okay. Reminder, the execution of said transfer would be later in the year. And so, and again, it's up to 8,000 acre feet. So if, you know, conditions changed or something along the way between now and then, we have the ability to go from, you know, 0 to 8 and anywhere in between.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the due diligence on that and putting it out to the public as best you could. Thank you. Are there any public comments? Do we have any public comments at this point? Not online?
Nothing received in the inbox as of 3:26 p.m.
Okay. This is essentially an informational item, correct, Ray?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Let's move into director's report. Anyone else stir us up?
Okay. I have nothing to say.
Okay. Jim, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Okay. Sorry, Mr. President, may I ask for a 2-minute pause?
Definitely.
Why don't we take a recess?
Okay.
Perfect.
Take a 2-minute recess.
2-minute recess?
Yes.
I'd be good at this.
Thank you, Mr. President. We may resume.
All right, let's go back to our, finish out our meeting here. We're on director's reports. Jim, you said you had no comments? Okay. Dennis, did you have any?
Yeah, I got a report? Few. I just want to thank everybody in these bad times we're going through, and then this drought has really got a lot of people shook up. And we don't know how long it's going to last, but we need some really serious rain dams, people. And then what these water districts and our elected officials need to do, they need to come together. We need more water storage. And who knows how long this drought's going to last. But it's time to quit talking about it and really get down serious and do something serious about it. That's not all I can say. Like the Beatles said years ago, they had a song, Come Together. Well, how'd that work out?
There you go.
These people won't come together. It's sad. And all we can do as good people is try our best and thank everybody for what they do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For my report, I'm excited for the opportunity that Palermo may get with water. I know it's still a lot of work ahead of us, so thank you to everyone who's been involved, especially Kristen. You were one of the main speakers at the meeting and kind of got hammered on some of the comments a little bit, or questions, as you could say. Some of the questions were rather interesting. Other questions were exceptionally relevant, but I'm excited to see light at the end of the tunnel, and so that's great. I also ran into Mr. McMasters, and he was exceptionally happy to have water going out in the community. So that's all I got for my report. 3:31 is how I see. Wow, thanks for writing.
Yep.
Comments on closed session items.
Any comments on closed session? Not online.
I have nothing in the inbox as of 3:30 p.m.
All right. Let's take a couple minute break and we'll move into closed session.
Thank you. Okay, if I may, Mr. President, perform roll call. President Woolburn?
Here.
Director Starr, absent. Director Moreland?
Here.
Director Edwards?
Here.
Vice President Hickman?
Present.
Council Cooper?
Here.
Information System Manager Martinez?
Here.
Environmental Health and Safety Manager Perrin?
Here.
Finance Manager Wong?
I'm here.
Power Division Manager Leon?
Here.
And myself, General Manager Mosley. Thank you.
All right. Any comments before we go into closed session?
They actually disconnected. It's just us.
Okay.
Should we give them a minute to reconnect or not worry about it?
No public on the line, so let's adjourn in a closed session.
Any email comments?
I have nothing in the inbox as of 4:01 p.m. in regards to the special meeting.
Well, let's go ahead and move into closed session there. In open session, go ahead and, Mr. Cooper, if you outline what we discussed.
All right, thank you, Mr. President. It is 4:54. The special meeting closed session item was concluded at 4:29 p.m. The announcement of that item, no action taken, but direction was given to legal counsel. And then concerning the regular meeting closed session items, the announcement is that direction was given to real property negotiators and to legal counsel as to the three existing litigation items in the agenda.
Thank you. Any additional comments?
Nothing received as it pertains to the meetings, both special and regular, as of 4:54 p.m.
All right. All right. Let's go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Take care, everybody.